Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Drow Royalty by Martha Carr and Michael Anderley, narrated by Devin Sorvery. Chapter 1. This can't be real. None of this is actually happening right now, is it? Cheyenne Summerlin stalked through the corridors of Blackstone, blinking at the bright code scrolling across the walls. Grimacing at the distraction, she reached behind her ear and ripped off the silver activator coil. The code flickered and disappeared with the buzzing pinch that still made her eyes water. She jammed the activator into her coat pocket and kept moving. Beside her, Lazar Verdes moved with long, purposeful strides away from the heart at the center of Hangavol. The drow thief stood tall, his hands clasped behind his back, and a daring, infuriating smirk on his dark gray lips. "Look at this," he muttered, gesturing toward the crowd of snarling magicals gathering in the wide archway of a branching corridor on their left. "They look happy, don't they?" Cheyenne stared expressionlessly at the crown's servants and attendants cramming into the archway, who were shoving each other against the black walls. "Happy enough to jump out and try to rip us to shreds?" "Oh, they could try, yes." Lazar raised his eyebrows at the sneering, hissing magicals glaring at them, a multitude of races, skin colors, and facial features. He didn't even bother to lower his voice when he passed a foot from the archway. Then they'd find themselves at the foot of the Death Flame with nothing but oblivion to greet them there. A slavering, rat-faced Skaxon drew her head back and spat violently at Lazar. The drow's fingers flicked toward the furious servant in a fraction of a second, sending the foamy wad of spittle flying back toward its owner, where it landed with a grotesque smack. The Skaxon screamed and reeled away from the corridor, clamping both clawed orange hands to her eye and pushing through the crowd to withdraw the way she'd come. No one else said a word. Lazar clasped his hands behind his back and kept up his brisk but unhurried pace through the crown's inner fortress in the center of Umbaro Ghul's capital. "You know, for the first time, I think I like the way things are headed in this place." On the other side of Cheyenne, Ember Gaedro snorted. "Because no one can do anything to stop you." The drow chuckled and cast the fey girl a sidelong glance. "They wouldn't have been able to anyway. The only difference is they know it now. It's about time the willing slaves in this place pulled their heads out of their beloved crown's ass and opened their eyes to the truth. And he thinks the truth is that he's much better than she is. I'm still not buying it." Cheyenne and Ember shared a glance, and the fey girl shrugged. They followed Lazar down too many twisting corridors for Cheyenne to count until they finally stopped at two broad metal doors, the same black as the walls, stretching a full 12 feet up to the equally black ceiling. The drow turned toward his daughter and her fey Nosani and dipped his head in acknowledgement.
"Ladies, I believe our reception awaits."
"What are you talking about?" Cheyenne stopped when he slammed both hands against the doors and pushed them open into the room beyond.
"The crown might not be able to do anything to him, but I sure as hell can."
Lazar marched into the room as the massive doors thumped against the walls. Dozens of low black metal tables lined the wide, tall room, each of them with matching benches, like picnic tables. Every surface was cluttered with every type of magical and non-magical weapon imaginable. Daggers, maces, clubs, swords, throwing stars, axes, spears. Mixed in with these were the same floating metal orbs the crown had sent out into the city's multiple rising levels, both for the affluent and the lower-class citizens alike, to keep her not-so-loyal subjects in line. Cheyenne's fingers slid around the cold metal coils of the activator in her pocket, but she didn't need to put it on again to know that these pieces of weaponized tech were dead. For now.
standing around all the tables and benches, either cleaning the weapons or testing them or simply hefting them in their hands, were at least 50 Ogul soldiers, all orcs. Some looked like they'd been a part of the fight in the Hart's courtyard less than 20 minutes ago. Others were fresher looking, as if they'd joined the party in the weapons room and had missed all the fun before Cheyenne returned her drow coin to the altar. All of them glared at Lazar, practically skipping down the center aisle between the metal tables toward the double doors on the opposite end of the room. The first orc they passed thumped a metal club against his meaty palm and snarled, "Nilsh Ukat." Lazar looked quickly at the orc and feigned insult, leaning away and placing a mocking hand to his chest. "Who? Me? Nobody wants you here, weaver. She'll grind you to dust before the end. Blood and fire, Nilsh Ukat. The next time any of us see your face, it'll be in the halls of the unmarked dead." The snarling, growling curses flew faster from the orc's mouths, growing in volume until they were all shouting after Lazar, spit flying from between their protruding tusks with the force of their hatred. The drow didn't change his pace across the room, meeting many of the soldiers' gazes and dipping his head in approval, grinning as if they were congratulating him for his efforts instead. One orc at the far end of the room got so worked up he swung a wickedly sharp axe back in a wide arc and sent it crashing into the metal table in front of him with a roar. Sparks flew, and the table dented significantly beneath his blow. By the time Lazar reached that table, the orc's chest was heaving as he scowled at the drow, thick spit flying in strands around his tusks. Lazar stopped, looked the orc over from head to toe, and dipped his head. "Nice arm." The weapons room echoed with unintelligible curses and Ogulish obscenities. Cheyenne and Ember stopped behind Lazar as his gaze wandered over to the other set of doors in front of him. The halfling turned to glare right back at the enraged soldiers and raised an eyebrow. "They're getting worked up over this. Over you." "Ah." Lazar passed his hand over a section of the metal doors, then looked over his shoulder at his daughter. "This is nothing. Wait till we get outside." "Great." Cheyenne glanced at Ember, who flinched when another orc pounded some heavy metal weapon into a table or a bench with an echoing clang. Then she looked at the halfling with the ghost of a smile. "Even you're not this much of a sore loser. At least we can make that distinction." An unseen heavy metal lock slid aside within the door's mechanism, and Lazar pressed his hands against the metal surface before leaning back to peer at the screaming, roaring soldiers behind them. "You only have a fortnight. Don't waste it." Then he shoved open the doors, and the mid-afternoon light from the open streets of Hangavol's inner circle spilled into the weapons room. The instant Lazar, Cheyenne, and Ember stepped outside, the orcs launched their weapons at the heavy doors that were slowly swinging back inward. The blades smashed into the slabs, glancing off with deafening echoes of metal on metal. A spear struck the door and stuck fast, the shaft quivering at the impact. The deadly blade of a war axe stuck into the very edge of one slowly closing door a second before a black metal dagger whistled through the air, spinning hilt over point as it passed through the last 4 inches of space between the doors and sailed over Cheyenne's shoulder. On instinct, she slipped into drow speed and turned slightly to snatch the suspended dagger from the air. When she returned to normal speed, the doors of the Crown's fortress shut with a resounding boom behind her. She scowled at the dagger in her clenched fist. Lazar glanced at it and raised his eyebrows. "Feels like you just reached into a frozen body and ripped out an icy heart, doesn't it?" "Quit saying crazy shit like that." Cheyenne chucked the dagger at the ground and stuck her hand in her jacket pocket to hide her urge to wipe it on something. "Honor, Ku'an." A drow man in a dark blue, shimmering suit, cut at weirdly sharp angles, lifted a fist in the air and shot a blast of silver and black light toward the magical dome stretching high above the entire city of Hangavol. The spell raced toward the dome and the gray-filtered light and crackled against the shielded wall with a muted hiss. Lazar met the other drow's gaze, stepping forward on his heel with the toe of his borrowed earthside shoe pointing straight up, and spread his arms in an exaggerated bow. The other drow chuckled as his cry of recognition was taken up by the dozens of other drow stepping out of dark, shimmering doorways. They each sent a blast of their magic into the dome until the filtered light dimmed beneath the hissing crackle of impact and the dark streaks of magic racing across the curving wall of the shield for every citizen of Hangavol to see. Cheyenne's mouth popped open at the sight of so many other drow gathered in the square outside the Crown's fortress. She immediately forced it shut again, but couldn't help but stare at all the glowing eyes and bone-white hair and slate-gray skin like her own. They were all well-dressed, standing tall, and dipping their heads toward Lazar and his daughter as the Kuan led the way through the square. I had no idea there were this many. A drow woman, with white hair falling past her hips, wearing a gauzy dress so low-cut it might as well have been a halfway-open robe, grinned at Cheyenne. The feral hunger in the drow woman's gaze made the halfling look quickly away. Apparently, Lazar's not the only one who's mastered that look. The drow in the low-cut dress slammed the heel of her fist against the closest wall with a metallic clang. One by one, the other drow took up the weird greeting, wordlessly striking dark fists or open hands on the metal walls, doors, and doorframes. It wasn't nearly as unruly and chaotic as the other times Oguleesh had gone full creepy on Cheyenne by banging on metal. The magicals here struck over and over in a slow rhythm as they grinned at the two drow and the fae crossing the square to make their way to the outer rings of the capital. Lazar threw his head back and laughed. Then he stepped sideways away from Cheyenne and spread his arms again, gesturing toward her like a crier clearing the streets in front of some medieval lord. "The Arinelle returns." The other drow took up the cry. "Honor, Arinelle! She is seen! Morukare!" Cheyenne frowned when she heard the last one. "Why are they calling me that?"
"That's what you are." Lazar grinned. "Cheyenne, the Weaver's daughter. Dark child returned. Princess of Umbaro Ghul."
The drow spread his arms and pranced across the square, turning in a slow circle as he moved, and laughing back at all the drow who'd come to see them both. Ember grimaced. "He's much crazier than I thought. Tell me about it." Cheyenne frowned at her father and snorted when he delivered bow after exaggerated moronic bow to the drow in every direction. "The loyalists called me that. Morukare. I'm guessing that's the dark child returned part." The halfling scrunched her nose and watched her drow father's crazed antics as they reached the other side of the square. "And Arinelle is princess. They keep throwing these words around in front of me, and I'm too dense to pick up on any of it."
"Oh, that's right," Ember rolled her eyes. "You should have spent more time learning the language so you could have picked up on all the secret messages. I bet there's a whole section on Ogul history at the library." Cheyenne gently elbowed her friend in the side and kept walking. The fae girl squinted in thought and glanced slowly around the square. "And I'm just noticing for the first time how weird it is that everybody here speaks English with random Ogulish tossed in."
"Huh." Cheyenne blinked at the realization. "Guess we'll have to ask about that one." When they reached another wide archway of dark, shimmering metal on the other side of the square, Lazar spun again to face the gathered drow. They still pounded in unison,
The slow, steady rhythm vibrated through the ground and the air, and Cheyenne clenched her jaw to keep her teeth from feeling like they were rattling around in her head. "Brothers! Sisters!" Lazar spread his arms, his golden eyes wide and glowing with a sharper light than usual. "A new cycle turns in 14 days. Be ready for the end. I know I am." A collective, wordless shout rose from the other drow, and Lazar took a deep breath as he grinned at his people paying tribute to him right outside the crown's lair. Both hands shot up to his head as his long, slender fingers smoothed the hair away from the sides of his face and his forehead. Then he spun smartly again and raised his eyebrows at Cheyenne, gesturing toward the arch. "This is the beginning, Cheyenne. There's so much more than what you've seen." Cheyenne glanced at the dozens of drow keeping up the pounding rhythm on the metal walls. "Am I supposed to be impressed?" "Not in the slightest." Lazar leaned farther toward the dark archway and waited for Cheyenne and Ember to pass through ahead of him. "I'd be quite disappointed if you were."
Chapter 2. The passage leading through the wall around the crown's inner city, containing nothing but drow subjects, was so long Cheyenne couldn't see the other end of it. The noise coming from both ends of the dark tunnel was quietest at the very center, though she was more focused on the erratic flashes of yellow and blue light streaking through patterned grooves in the tunnel's walls and ceiling. "What's that?" Lazar gazed at the blips. "No activator to answer that question for you." "I don't need it for everything, unless you have no idea and I should write you off as clueless." The drow laughed and ran a hand along the grooved wall. "You're still in a touchy mood, I see." "I just found out that I'm the Ogul Crown's niece and that I have to come back here in 2 weeks to order her off the throne of a world she's been poisoning for who knows how long." Cheyenne cocked her head and shoved both hands into her jacket pockets. "Touchy is a bit of an understatement." "Let it go for now." His voice was surprisingly soft when he said it, and she almost turned to look at him in surprise. Then he chuckled and slapped a hand on the wall, which resulted in a cracking echo up and down the tunnel. "You've earned your right to feel however the hell you want, Cheyenne, but moping about it is a waste of everyone's time. I'm not a fan." "Sure, just let me change my moods to suit you." Lazar gave her a small, amused smile and pointed at the flashing lights along the ceiling. "And that, by the way, is the city code rewriting itself."
"Wait, what?"
He nodded once and clasped his hands behind his back.
"All part of the interim hold-on magic, if you will. The Crown's preparing in whatever way she can for your next meeting in 2 weeks. So are all her marvelously expendable subjects, her words once upon a time. And this is Hangaval, the most technologically advanced city, and the heart of Umbaro Ghul, preparing for the new cycle."
Cheyenne gazed at the crackling flashes across the otherwise dark surface. "The activator's staying in my pocket for now. I don't think I could handle reading a bunch of crap about myself, if that's even included."
The metallic banging coming from the drow inner city behind them faded, replaced by a growing ruckus from up ahead. Cheers, shouts, body laughter, and much more chaotic pounding in sporadic bursts came from whatever circular level they were about to enter at the end of the slightly declining tunnel.
"Why do they do that?"
"I know you understand what a celebration is, despite the fact that I haven't yet seen you participate in one."
She gave her father a deadpan stare, and he shrugged before turning away from her.
"I'm talking about all that banging. They did it at Res 38, and then in Peridosh. You did it the day I came to talk to you about
the traitor in the fray. Yes." Lazar's head bobbed from side to side as strange, ululating Ogulish music filtered through the tunnel toward them.
"It's a sign of immense respect, Cheyenne.
They're paying tribute.
To me?
Unless they're staring at someone else while they're doing it. Yes.
She frowned at the bright end of the tunnel quickly approaching. I guess all the Earthside Ogulish won't have much of a problem with me ruling over there, if I even do. Sounds like they already approve.
When they stepped out of the tunnel and into the dazzling light reflecting off every bright, shining surface, Cheyenne recognized Upper Tech. It wasn't the same courtyard she'd visited with Prashal, but it was definitely the same district. And the people here were unhinged. Magicals of every race danced in the glistening streets, their fine jewelry and expensive clothing whirling around them in bright flashes and ridiculous patterns. An incredibly tall, thin woman with skin the lightest shade of pale blue and four arms twirled between high-flying leaps, slamming her hand against a metal bench every time her bare, hand-shaped feet touched the ground. An orc with a high, stiff collar on his black dinner jacket and five gold rings inlaid in each tusk swung his head from side to side, kicking the metal walls of a building in rhythm to the strange music. Expensive scarves and capes swirled in a kaleidoscope of shimmering patterns as the once entirely proper denizens of Upper Tech danced and whooped and roared in victory. Cheyenne straightened, glancing back and forth across the square at the maddened celebration. Ember backed away from a goblin who lunged toward her, his tongue hanging out of his open, grinning mouth, as he shook his head wildly and snatched the odd-shaped top hat that was split down the middle off his head. The fey girl widened her eyes as he cackled and whirled away again, throwing his weird hat into the air, not caring where it landed, as he danced across the square. What was it like last time? Like everyone had a stick up their ass? Ember chuckled wryly. Maybe the sticks finally made it up to their brains. That does sound like an accurate assessment.
Lazar!
A Skaxon man wearing a sparkling green bodysuit limped toward them, spreading his arms in greeting.
Took you long enough, eh? We all thought you'd been rotting in the ground for the last 200 years.
Lazar gave the Skaxon a tight-lipped smile as they passed.
That's hardly long enough to cause concern.
The Skaxon did a little jig in his delight, his bad leg making him look like he was trying to skip on one leg as he shook his clawed orange fists in the air and kept dancing. Cheyenne forced herself to look away and caught up with Lazar.
Who was that?
He looked slightly over his shoulder to raise an eyebrow at the dancing magicals.
I have no idea.
Ember floated beside them, unable to decide between frowning at the strange celebration or laughing at it.
You know, after everything I've heard about the shitty direction things have taken over here, I honestly expected this place to look a lot worse. Is the whole city like this?
Lazar barked a laugh. Cheyenne ignored him and shook her head.
No, Em. Upper Tech's like Windsor Farms with slightly more sticks-up asses.
Okay. Bobbing her head, Ember gazed around and blinked against the glare reflecting off the glittering, white metallic surfaces everywhere. So this is the fancy level without drow.
Pretty much.
Lazar turned toward another tunnel leading out of Upper Tech and paused when a fey man with violet skin and dark blue hair falling over his shoulders floated into their path. Ember took a sharp breath and stared at the first of her kind she'd seen in this world, but she quickly covered her surprise.
You shouldn't have returned.
The fey man's expressionless face and his calm, even tone were totally at odds with the celebratory air spilling through Upper Tech, and his shimmering violet eyes were cold.
Nothing good will come of this.
The prodigal drow pointed at the fey and squinted.
I'm trying to place your name. The last thing I'm giving you is my name, thief. If we're throwing names around, I prefer Weaver while I'm here.
Lazar spread his arms and offered the fey man a flashing grin.
Ku'an does fairly well, too.
The Fey man pointed across the square in no particular direction, but away from the tunnel he currently blocked. Lazar chuckled.
Come now, that's not very celebratory. If not for me, you can at least step aside for the Aranel, can't you?
The only reply he received was a slow blink from the Fey's luminous eyes and a highly judgmental glance up and down. The drow thief winked at the Fey, then stepped aside and gestured for his daughter to enter the tunnel.
Cheyenne.
She studied the Fey man, who only gave her a brief and dismissive glance, then looked at the rest of the dancing square again.
I'm not about to start fighting magicals who don't appreciate Lazar Verdis in their city.
There's more than one way out of this level.
No.
Lazar's grin disappeared, and his golden gaze bored into the Fae's violet eyes.
You step aside for no one, Cheyenne. Not today. Enter the tunnel.
The warning in her father's voice sent an involuntary shiver down the halfling's spine. She exchanged a quick glance with Ember and blinked slowly.
We're doing things differently than the last time I was here.
Excuse us. Cheyenne nodded at the Fey man and slipped around him into the bright tunnel leading out of the district square. Ember followed, smiling briefly at the other magical, until the Fey man turned his gaze on her and narrowed his eyes. She swallowed and raised her eyebrows as she floated past him into the tunnel. Lazar dipped his head toward the Fey, a smile flickering across his lips before he followed his daughter and her Nosani. The blue-haired Fey turned slowly to watch the trio make their way down the tunnel and out of the upper level beyond the drow inner city. His silver-slippered feet didn't touch the ground once. When Lazar caught up to walk at Cheyenne's side again, she shot him a sidelong glance. Apparently not everyone's happy to see the rebel weaver return to Umbaro Ghul.
That brooding Fey is one of the outliers, I think.
Lazar shrugged.
It doesn't mean he's loyal to the current crown, or that he won't celebrate the new cycle when it turns. The second he steps inside his opulent quarters on the top floor of some high-rise penthouse, he'll be dancing himself into a purple Fey sweat.
Ember leaned forward to look at him. So why'd he try to block us?
Not us, just me.
Lazar brushed his hair away from his face with a nonchalant chuckle.
I probably did something 1,000 years ago to piss him off, and he's still holding a grudge. That happens a lot.
Cheyenne snorted. Doesn't sound like he's just one of the outliers, then.
I'm talking about total numbers in Umbaro Ghul, Cheyenne.
The drow lifted his chin with a sneer and clasped his hands behind his back as they moved through the tunnel. This one also sparked and crackled with visible light in the grooves in the walls. Most of the magicals here are only too happy to see change, even if it comes merely because I stepped back over the border from the human realm you and I love so much. The halfling's eyes widened, but she kept walking straight ahead without turning to look at him.
They don't like that you were over there for so long. Mostly, they don't like that I was over there at all, or that anyone goes earthside, though it's been happening for as long as any of us can remember. By the way, let's keep that little nugget of truth to ourselves for the time being.
Cheyenne glanced at the flashing ceiling of the tunnel in exasperation. And what little nugget is that?
The one about where you come from. It's not common knowledge, as I'm sure you've noticed by now.
Lazar hummed a humorless chuckle.
We have to approach it gently when the time is right.
Oh, yeah? As gently as you approached barging through the heart so I could throw myself off a balcony for that stupid coin?
Naturally, that's about as gentle as we get, isn't it?
He shot her another grin and raised his eyebrows. Cheyenne shook her head.
More secrets about who I am. I guess it's better to be keeping them this time instead of being the clueless one.
Stop! The urgency in Lazar's voice made Cheyenne and Ember spin to look back down the tunnel. He ignored their surprise and reached a hand straight out in front.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?